Greetings, fellow beer geeks.
Hello, hello.
We're back during the holidays here for Beer Geek Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm your host. My name is Brad.
And this is Steven.
And as we promised, we're doing an episode from on location, from a new location that's local to us. And it's called Hopscotch. And we have some special guests today here to help us with the journey of talking about this place and kind of giving you guys an idea of what they have to offer and where they are and just basically give you guys a rundown of the place itself. So we're going to introduce those guests to you right now. And our guests are, say hello.
Hi there, James Wood, beverage director of Hopscotch.
And I'm Brandon Sosa, lead bartender.
Welcome, welcome. Glad to have you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
So we have a fun show. We got a chance to come out here, and it's in Fullerton, which is about, I'd say, about half hour from where we are. And we're always on the lookout for new spots because, you know, selfishly we get to come when we're not working and enjoy the scenery and drink some good beer. And,
yep.
But also, too, for you guys, that if you're out in Fullerton and you're ever wondering, where can I drink good beer or great whiskey or just kind of see the good ambiance, yeah, have some good food. Now you have another place that we've been to, so you guys can take a listen and see what you guys like about it. So the place is Hopscotch. It is a craft beer and craft whiskey bar, and they have a full menu, and they do breakfast, and we actually just got the opportunity to eat, and I'm thrilled with what I had.
Yeah.
So real quick, James, go ahead and tell us about, real quick before you get into the restaurant, tell us about your qualifications and how long you've been into beer and whiskey and whatnot.
Well, I've been in the business going on about 15 years now. I grew up in England, and we're inundated with amazing local breweries, so the craft beer movement in England has always been prevalent.
Yeah.
Out here, probably I'd say 2006, I had the opportunity to go and start working with the brewery in Placentia.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was one of the very first employees that worked in the tasting room there. It's myself and Steph Ferrari. We landed up working there every weekend and trying to build that business. And obviously with what the brewery does, they do an amazing variety of Belgian style ales. And it kind of piqued my interest. I'd always been into the wine industry previously. But once I saw what you could do with beer and the varying styles between everything from sour to super bitter, it was really impressive. So I really started paying attention to trying to learn as much as I could about beer and preach the word of craft beer and try and get it out in the marketplace. Opened a couple of restaurants with head bartender or lead bartender. We did Crow Bar and Kitchen in Corona Del Mar, which is known for its craft beer. We did Side Door also in Corona Del Mar, which has a nice craft beer program. Previously worked at Haven Gastro Pub in Orange.
Oh, okay.
Which most people who are into craft beer know that place and know their rotating handles. And here at Hopscotch, we're looking to do something similar, not quite as intense of a program, but really offer a wide variety of different styles of beer from different craft breweries across the world.
That's a really cool idea. I mean, I was not aware that you worked at brewery. Working at brewery, like you said, I'm sure you saw like a wide array of styles. I mean, they do everything, like you said, from sours to Belgian-influenced ales. They do stouts. They do, porters. And they do everything. We've done a show at brewery. We've been long fans of the brewery, so we've had everything from them. But that's really cool that you've stayed pretty much local to that area, Orange County, and you guys are doing something else. We've been to Haven also in downtown Orange. They've got a really great bottle list, too, so you guys are trying to bring a little bit of both from here.
Yeah, we're trying to do a nice balance of hard-to-find things and also stuff that's very kind of approachable for a mass audience.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, craft beer has come leaps and bounds in the last couple of years, and more people are turning to that as the alternative to your regular Budweiser, Bud Light.
Yeah.
But we still want to maintain an approachability to our clientele because not everybody is is into drinking the good stuff as we are.
It's big because oftentimes being in beer as long as we have, we have made our steps and gotten up to what we drink normally, but we got to make sure we take the time to still appreciate beers that are done very well, but they might not be very hard to find. You can go to the store and pick up some great stuff too that most people might, I've already had that, I don't need it again.
Right,
well, that's kind of not where we go. But I've seen you guys have a really nice lineup of taps, and you guys have a bottle list as well. You guys have a bottle cooler, too. Some of the beers that we've seen on tap since we've been here, I mean, I've had Knuckle Sandwich. I've had Lagunitas Brown Sugar.
I had the Duval.
Duval and Victory at Sea, I think you're drinking right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, any place that anyone that knows Knuckle Sandwich knows that any place that has it on tap, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. That's a big West Coast IPA that you can't get everywhere, so... And Brandon, give us a little taste about your craft beer experience. What got you into craft beer?
You know, right when I turned 21, I'm 26 now. I don't even know how it started. I think I went out and picked up a bottle of Arrogant Bastard and
nice.
You know, drank it. Probably didn't really like it that much. And next day, you know, I was like, all right, well, there's something to that beer, and went out, grabbed another bottle. Next thing you know, that was the only beer I was drinking for like 3 months, and I was just, you know, oh my God, blown away. And
yeah.
They're, you know, Stone Pale Ale. Stone really kind of paved the way for me as far as, you know, trying something new, and it's just gotten exponential since then. There's so many great breweries, especially locally, so many great breweries with so many good beers. You know, I mean, we got Bootleggers, the brewery,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Experimental, the classic.
Yep.
There's so much stuff out here. And that's why I really like our lineup of beer as well. You know, we have people come in, and you know, we have our crap tap, mm-hmm. our Bud Light.
I like that crap tap.
Yeah, we don't make any lies about it. Like I said, we want to cater for everybody.
Yeah.
And I feel if you just totally negate everybody out of the equation, you kind of.
And you got to realize,
it hurts your business.
This
a little.
Is a college town.
Exactly.
A lot of college kids, all they're trying to do is buy that party beer.
Oh yeah.
So the crap tap probably sells.
And you know what's funny? We thought Budweiser and Coors were going to actually shirk at being the crap tap, but they were clamoring for it. They couldn't wait to be the crap tap because they're the only ones in the restaurant. So they've actually embraced it and love it. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, they're obviously they pay people to do market research, and they know what sells well and what's taking over market share. So for them to be next to some great taps, at least the ones that we saw that you guys have, I mean, they'd probably be honored because at least it's more money for them, you know? So what about the tell us about, like, what got the place started? Like, whose idea was Hopscotch, and how did it come together?
One of our owners, Brian Gonzalez, has always been looking to kind of do something along the craft beer lines. He's really, really into IPAs. It's one of his favorite things to drink, and he's trying to think something along the lines of like a Seven Grand in LA, which is, you know, a heavily whiskey, you know, heavy whiskey bar with a lot of, you know, really kind of esoteric things on their beverage program. And he was trying to figure out how to best incorporate the name of craft beer and whiskey. And originally it was called Copper Door, but, you know, eventually the Copper Door opened up down the street. And actually, it was Copper Tavern, and then the Copper Door opened up down the street, and so it's the best thing that ever happened to him. So he was driving down the freeway, you know, one day, and this is how he tells the story, that, you know, he's like trying to put the words together, like hops and whiskey and beer. How do I make these things kind of happen? And it just suddenly came to him. He's like, hops and scotch, hopscotch. No, so that kind of made sense to him. So he got on the old Bluetooth, called his business partner Rob, who was like, "Yeah, it's okay." You know? And if you ever met Rob, you kind of see why these two work very well together, because they're so polar opposite. But that's kind of how the name was born. And obviously, we've gone with the premise of doing craft beer and whiskey. We also do craft spirits, and we have a very, very heavy mixology program as well. So it's not just craft beer that we're doing. It's craft everything.
Nice. That's really cool. I dig that.
There's not a lot of places that kind of try and encompass all of those categories.
Yeah.
So we're trying.
Yeah. And like I said, we obviously got the chance to eat, and so you guys have obviously had the goal of putting together a really good menu, too, to kind of complement. If you come in here and you want a very decadent beer or a very decadent whiskey or even both, you're going to want a food that complements both
of course,
both
and there's
those.
A big, heavy influence on pairing as well. Once we get our feet underneath us and we decide, once we hit the new year, some of our monthly goals are to do scotch dinners and beer dinners and beer tastings, and we might do a couple of bottle share events where you can come in, bring your own bottles, and some minimal fee to be part of it, and that way you get to share a lot of great beers and rare beers with some good friends.
Yeah.
We got the patio space to do it. We have a cigar patio here as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're currently working on actually creating a humidor so that we can do cigar sales. I mean, cigar and a big heavy porter, I mean, you can't go wrong right there.
Just FYI, you know, we have the Blue Collar Special, which is a craft beer, shot of whiskey, and a cigar. So it's one of the specials we do. We try and switch it up, get a couple different beers, different whiskey, and our cigars change. So that's it's one of the things. We sell a lot of those things. We go through cigars like nobody's business. Yeah.
That is really cool.
That's really cool, though, because, I mean, it basically plays on the craft approach you said to everything.
Yeah.
Decadent beer, decadent whiskey, cigars, great food. The food that we had the opportunity to have earlier, we had the Duke sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume, is the Duke kind of like a flagship here?
It's one of the more popular ones we have. I mean, stuffed burger with American cheese and a big lump of pulled pork right on top.
I don't think it gets more decadent than that. Yeah, it was a really good sandwich, and you guys have it was kind of crazy because I asked for a side of barbecue sauce, and instead of getting a side of barbecue sauce, I got like three little tasters of different kinds of sausage you guys offer, and the waiter said, "Hey, try them all and see which one you like."
Yeah.
I think it was a Carolina mustard, and there was a couple more.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
That's my favorite.
I got that sitting right over here next to my fries. I'm going to tear up after this episode.
And it's a great approach to everything. I mean, the ambiance is really cool, and you guys have the bar upstairs with all the whiskeys and all the taps, and there's a refrigerator with all the bottles. You're talking about expanding your bottle list, too. You mentioned earlier, right?
Yeah, we actually we have a big craft beer to-go fridge. We can actually sell beer to go, which not very many restaurants can do. So we bought a big refrigerator. We stocked it with everything that we currently sell. But we're also looking to expand on the list by doing a lot of some of the more harder to find brews and limited releases that are out there. So obviously currently 12-12-12 is stocked in there. Victory at Sea stocked in there. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking to all of our vendors and making sure that we have some really cool stuff to fill that thing up with. Same kind of goes with the draft list as well. We're always going to have core styles on tap. There'll always be IPAs. There'll always be a sour. There'll always be porters and Belgium ales. We'll do a couple of taps. They'll rotate in and out of specialty beers as well. So currently 12-12-12 is on draft for us. We do have Black Phoenix from Bootleggers coming up. And we also have the Pukachev Cobra from the Hangar 24 Barrel Roll Series, which is a really, really nice barrel-aged brew that's made with, oatmeal and maple, I believe.
Yeah, I was actually there last week for their the bottle release of the Pukachevs.
So, again, we're going to try and get some of those.
What's that? I think it's a Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, it's a Russian Imperial Stout. It's 15.8% aged in bourbon barrels. So we're going to do a delicious treat.
And, in the coming weeks, we're going to do actually probably a release event for that. We have some nice little Hangar 24 snifters, so it'll be a beer in a glass deal. So come in, buy the beer, keep the glass. So that's going to be coming up too. So a lot of this stuff is going to be on our Facebook page, which is Hopscotch. It should be easy to find. I don't think there's another hopscotch in there. Kind of unique in that respect.
Yeah.
And we're just really getting our feet under us. We're looking forward to what the new year brings, and it should be a fun time over here.
So when you guys have mentioned reaching out to a lot of the local breweries to help you guys expand your taps and bottle list, how you guys are recently just opened. You guys have been talking about opening for a while.
There
was some permit issues that I had heard you guys have dealt with, but you guys finally got open.
Yep.
How's the experience been working with local breweries to kind of get, have they been really supportive of the idea?
Yeah, everyone's been very supportive. I mean, we've got a lot of friends in the industry between myself and Brian, one of the owners. I mean, he has a really good relationship with a lot of the craft brewers, and I have a really good relationship with a lot of our purveyors and vendors, just because I've been in the business a long time. So we've got a lot of friends in the industry, and whether it's beer, wine, spirits, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to look to hopefully achieve that not too many other restaurants can do. So those really hard to find things, we hope we can have them for you guys.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, you guys have, obviously you have the space, you guys have a good lineup so far. And with the relationships it seems you guys have built coming into it, you guys have, are off to a great start. Mm-hmm. The food's been really good, and I, like I said, I'm thrilled. It's a really cool place.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank I think, you. You know, we've really gotten some good local support. Tyler King actually was in here last night.
James like twice a week almost.
James left for the night, and obviously, you know, I love his beer, and I love the brewery. Mm-hmm. Saw him over there, and chit-chatted with him for a little bit, and I think actually even the night before, Brendan, who's the general assistant manager at Brewery Provision, certified Cicerone, came in, and,
oh, okay.
And you know, everyone was here, loving the drinks, loving the food, and I was, you know, trying to pick everyone's brain a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, going through the certified Cicerone program myself, hopefully I'm going to be taking that, I believe it's January 14th at the Beachwood Barbecue. Got a couple friends in the study group, and
nice.
We're hitting the grindstone. But, yeah, it was nice to, you know, see the local support. And Aaron Barkenhagen, been in here himself with Patricia and having some beers. And it's really nice to get a lot of local feedback mm-hmm. from people.
That's cool. That's
so
really
as
cool.
as the you said, you're as the lead bartender, you're going through the Cicerone program. So not many restaurants or even bars in this area that do serve craft beer, regardless of the lineup, can yeah. boast a bartender that is a certified Cicerone yeah. as well. I remember we had recently done a show where we were out in Palm Springs, and we were at a tavern called Schmitty's Tavern. And the guy that was there was the head chef, and he's the president of the Home Brew Club out there. He had mentioned that there's one certified Cicerone in the Coachella Valley, and he comes into the tavern, and he does you know, beer tastings and beer school and whatnot. So to be able to have somebody that works here and is also going to be a certified Cicerone, you can pretty much count on, you know, having the beer expertise and the beer knowledge so that any range of folks that come in, whether they be new to craft beer or even people who have a lot of experience, are going to be in for a surprise because, yeah. you know, you guys aren't those bartenders. Oh, well, I want some to taste like Bud Light. You know, oh, okay, we'll have that. You know, it's a wealth of knowledge that you guys bring to the table, too, it seems like.
It's the knowledge aspect of it is very important to us, and it's not just craft beer. It's with everything. It's with the food. It's with the wine. It's with the spirits. When we hired everybody, we obviously knew what we were looking for and because of what we were going to be doing, so we had some pretty stringent guidelines when we did our open calls for hiring, and I think we've hired a magnificent staff. I think everyone's come a long way in a very short time in terms of getting up to speed with training. We did have a bit of a tough open, but we have several people that are either currently doing Cicerone sort of learning or have done it. Or we're having everybody also do a program called Bar Smarts, which is almost the same idea, but with spirit. So there's a lot of bartenders in Orange County. There's some good ones. There's some mediocre ones. There's some bad ones. But we really want to make sure we have not only good but the best.
Yeah.
So like you said, when you come in and someone can guide you through all these just the crazy wonderland that is craft beer, craft spirits, mixology, you feel comfortable, and hopefully that's the feeling we want to generate here.
That's really
is
cool.
That
yeah.
And like I said before, I think we've gotten just a lot of good feedback on that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have lots of people coming in, and they don't even know what they want to try, or you know, what do you like? Shock Top. Okay, cool. Got a beer for you. Or Bud Light. Great. Got a beer for you.
I actually have that beer for you.
Yeah, we actually do have that. I try not to sell it, but, you know.
Yeah.
One of the awesome things, I think, about being a certified Cicerone or even somebody who's passed the beer server's exam is you can do it backwards. If somebody orders a meal off your menu, you can say, okay, I got a beer that will match that meal.
Definitely.
You can handle it from both ends. If somebody comes in and says, you know what, I want a lager, or I want a wheat beer, or I want a porter or a stout, I had this one beer that tasted like this one time, what do you have like it? Or if someone goes, yeah, you know, I'm kind of on the fence. I don't know what kind of beer I want, but I feel like a cheeseburger or I feel like a pulled pork sandwich. You can go, okay, you know what? I have the beer for that, or I have the whiskey for that, or even both. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Certified Cicerone program has come so in handy for a business like this. Because the wealth of knowledge, like you guys were talking about, is gonna be so beneficial to a business like this.
Yeah,
I've really been, you know, starting to get more into, you know, food pairing. I mean, to me, you know, beer just shadows wine when it really comes to food pairing. There's so many different styles of beers with so many flavors. Like, you know, wine's pretty much two ingredients, yeast and grape. Mm-hmm. Beer is
it's infinite.
Yeah.
It's whatever you want.
We can really do a lot of things with beer, and we have, you know, such a good menu that, I mean, we can pair any food with any beer that we have on tap. And it's actually been pretty easy for me over here. It's like just getting into the food pairing. It's easy, and it's fun to be able to give somebody a beer with, you know, the Duke or, you know, our Cheddar Bob, Spicy Nicholson, or any of our sandwiches, salads. Like, there's always a good beer for that.
Yeah, and I'm sure you probably get people who come in here who, you know, maybe might work in the area who might not be too familiar with craft beer, and they see beer and they think Bud Light, but then you say, you know what, I've got a perfect, you know, a nice wheat refreshing beer with some citrus in there to go with your salad. And these are people that are going to go, oh, well, okay, cool, and then they try it, and then they realize that they accentuate both, and they're going to take that from... they're going to take that away from this restaurant that, you know, not only did you guys have the knowledge, but you took the time to implement it. And that's what I think was going to set you guys apart from just going into a restaurant that has good food and a decent beer line.
We take it pretty seriously over here. You know, I mean, everyone that we have working on the floor, working in the bar, we're pretty passionate about our craft. You know, I mean, we all like booze. That's why we're all here.
That's why I've been doing this for 15 years.
That's why we're here.
It's good.
And it's, you know, like I said, it's really fun to be able to bridge the gap with somebody, even getting into a craft beer, or bridge the gap from beer to food, and really just kind of push the limits on people's tongues.
Yeah.
It's really fun to, you know, pick people's brains and be like, okay, you kind of like this. Well, let's do that. Let's get this going. And you know, bartenders or mixologists, whatever you want to call us.
It's mixologists these days.
Mixologists now, yeah.
We're way cool. We're way past that.
Pretty soon your guy's going to be like a certified chemist.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's nice to it's just nice to be able to pick people's brains and, you know, show them something they haven't tasted before, or there's just so much out there. You know, it seems really closed-minded to just be mass marketed to and drink the Coors Light. It's like, you know, there's a German brewery that's been around since 1040 who's making the best version of Bud Light you've ever had.
Yeah.
Ein Hechtefahner. You know, it's just, there's more out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of it comes down to the American kind of drinking history, if you like. I've done a lot of reading and research over the years about why the American drinking culture has kind of gotten off to a slow start versus the culture in Europe, where, you know, it's all being crafted all the time and has never changed. Yeah. In fact, it's gone quite the opposite. The number one selling beer in Ireland these days is Budweiser. It's crazy.
Wow. You know,
it's not even their own brew anymore.
That's
imported.
You know,
imported versus
exactly.
Not even a good Czech Pilsner from Budweiser anymore, is it?
Wow.
But, you know, a lot of it to do, and this is very prevalent in the cocktail aspect of it, and but Hopscotch, we are doing a really big focus on mixology as well. But during the 60s and 70s and 80s, everyone kind of got their kicks off of other things other than alcohol.
Yes.
And it wasn't until kind of the late 90s that people started to kind of pay attention to the fact that there's better stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And it's only now that it's really coming to the forefront. You know, obviously, Prohibition didn't do anyone any favors. For the longest time, we were kind of in the doldrums of the American drinking culture, if you like, because it was just all mass-produced bad stuff. You know, Smirnoff kind of kicked off the advertising campaign that changed Americans from whiskey and gin to vodka. And then Anheuser-Busch and MillerCoors, they all followed suit, and they just mass marketed to the point of brainwashing. Nowadays, you know, as the new generation is coming in, who are taking more focus on not only where their food comes from and the preparations and whether it's locally farmed or sustainable, that's kind of mirrored in the beverage industry as well, where people are now thinking, well, okay, well, my local brewery makes some pretty good stuff. If I don't start buying that stuff, they're going to go out of business, and I'm not going to get it. So why don't I support these guys, because it tastes an awful lot better? Yeah, these guys are wearing Drink Local t-shirts.
I figured I'd wear a Bootleggers t-shirt because I'm in Fullerton. Yeah. So
you got Bootleggers. He's got Lost Abbey. Yeah, you guys going to tussle after him? So, you know, people are starting to pay really a lot of attention to where things come from, and, you know, that's obviously, you know, mirrored in the increase in craft beer and just craft beverages in general in local restaurants. Gone are the days of just making a vodka soda. It's just more to it than that these days. Mm-hmm. And any bartender or any server who has a passion for what they do will you know, definitely back that statement up. It's more than vodka soda. It's, mm-hmm. you know, doing something crafted. It's more than Bud Light. It's a Pukachev Cobra. You know? You know, it's something completely different. And you'll see this industry grow from strength to strength. It's not going anywhere. People need a drink.
Yep. Right. You
know, good times, bad times.
We're seeing big influences from the European beer market, like we were talking about, is one style that we talk a lot about that has been around in Europe forever, Belgium specifically, is sours, gooses, and lambics.
Oh, yeah.
And those are coming over here in a large way. Yeah. And we've ran the statistics
It's a new phenomenon in American drinking, but yeah, it's been around forever.
Back in 2002 at the Great American Beer Festival, there was approximately 12 gooses, lambics, and sours combined.
Really?
By 2008, there was over 200.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's even more.
So it's obviously America seems like it's in its infant stages of the craft beer realm, and you know, it's taking off in a very large way, and places like Hopscotch that are standing at the forefront of that and helping perpetuate that are the places that we want to come to, you know, because like you said, gone are the days where something as simple as I just want a Bud Light or I'll throw
rum and coke,
let me do a rum and coke or something like that, you know, let me get an actual,
which I still enjoy.
But people are always going to need to drink, like you said.
Good times and bad.
Yep.
Yeah. So specifically about the restaurant, so what are your hours? You guys open every day?
Yeah, we open every day. On the weekends, so Saturday and Sunday, we open for breakfast / lunch at 9 a.m. Food service is until 10:30, 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock is when the kitchen actually closes. Beverage service is all day. We do last call at 1:45, and we close at 2. During the week for lunch, we open at 11 a.m.
Cool. You guys get what would you say is your busiest day?
We're still really trying to find our feet and trying to find our crowd. But so far, it seems the Fridays and Saturdays are going to be our two busiest days.
Cool.
But every day is different.
Yeah.
For right now, until we establish our clientele, and you know, of course, that was a very interesting kind of exercise in the beginning, because you know, Fullerton is not really used to places that don't have Jaeger bombs and Corona.
You know, we
just don't offer those things, and we may alienate a few people, and but you know, we understand that, but we're really looking to capture the guys that and girls that are, you know, beer savvy or beer curious and want to come try something new, and you know, have a kind of nice little hangout and an alternative to, you know, some of the crazier, well, let's just say crazier places in Fullerton.
Yeah, and like you said, with the lineup that you guys put together, there is something for everyone. You know, if somebody wants to come in here and get a really nice craft whiskey, they can. If somebody wants to come in and get like a nice wheat beer or even a nice real good pale ale or an English IPA, they can do that. So it's not like there's not something here for everyone.
Just
not
Jaeger.
That's kind of like, that's pretty much, yeah, just not Jaeger. That's what I like, what you guys have done with the place. You know, it's a really kickback joint, really good food, but it seems like there's something here for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, we were going kind of like for Lodge in Big Bear. That's kind of what we were kind of going for. So we have like taxidermy on the walls and a lot of wood, and
it's just a very cabin-like feel.
Rusty.
Rustic.
Exactly. When I got in here, the first thing I smelled was like this really big woody like aroma, and I looked around. I'm like, wow, this is not my normal place that I would think of when I come to Fullerton. I mean, you guys are right next to the slide bar.
Yeah.
So
this building itself is actually a historical landmark.
Really?
This used to be an old train station for the Pacific Electric line, and they used to have the train come in one side of the building and you get off, and then where our bar is located is where the waiting room and the ticketing room was.
Oh, wow.
And then you'd walk out the other door, and that would take you to I think it's Greyhound, so you could get off the train one side, get on the bus on the other. We did very, very little to the actual building itself. The outside is still the same as it was back in the 1918, I believe, is when the building was actually constructed. But the outside is very much the same. But we increased the patio size a little bit, put a deck out there. But other than that, we did very little work to it. the rafters in the bar area, they're actually they're the original wood. That's the original roof.
That's
Obviously, over the years, it's been renovated to avoid it collapsing, but 90% of that is original wood.
That's a really cool, but it seems to fit the atmosphere that you guys were going for.
Yeah.
It's like it's very rustic, but you get it has a very craft feel to it. You know, like this would look like a place. If I imagine, hey, I want to go somewhere and get a really nice, you know, glass of whiskey, or I want to get a really good craft beer with some great food and cigars, I would imagine a place like this. And the ambiance was nailed perfectly.
Yeah.
I think the ambiance is really cool.
I think it has an old Western kind of vibe.
Definitely. I think it really, you know, fits the style of our bar. You know, we want people to come in and relax and have a cocktail like it was back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, pre-prohibition era. Like, you know,
get a couple poker tables in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I feel like, you know, we should have some cowboy boots and and hats on, but, you know, plaid here. And I think I've heard the word hipster come up a little bit, but, you know, look, we're just trying to make
good drinks for everyone.
Yeah, we're here for everybody. You know, we're like, James is so passionate about spirits, and he's really, really gotten me into it. I've been a big beer dork for, you know, since I turned 21, basically, and he sort of is paving the way for me to really get into these craft cocktails and, you know, take my beer knowledge and apply that spirits-wise and just make some good drinks.
Yeah, it all works together. When what we learn and how to taste beer is it helps us when we come to pairing flavors and things together. So it helps in all aspects, from food pairings, cocktail pairings, how to take certain spirits and mix them together, salt with sweet, sour with bitter, and how to balance those things out. Like a good beer should always be balanced. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I liken the look and the restaurant to kind of like, it is that old westy kind of feeling, and I kind of think it fits into kind of how my perception of us is kind of outlaws in this town, because we're not doing the same thing everyone else is doing. So I think the kind of western feeling, the plaid, you know, the taxidermy on the walls, the kind of lodgy feel, I think that screams outlaw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really suits what the moniker of what we're doing. We are kind of outlaws in this town, because it's not your normal restaurant.
Yeah, I know exactly. As you said earlier, Brad, this doesn't look like the kind of place you find in downtown Fullerton.
Not at all.
Well, downtown Fullerton, you got a lot of places that have a little more edgy kind of feel and look, because people are trying to, you know, be hip and be, you know, be new. But you guys are doing something completely different, and it's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
Really, yeah, really dig the place. Good food, good beer. Different approach to downtown Fullerton, mostly known as a college town. And I've had my, you know, I've hung out here before. I've been down here on different days of the week. I've gone to places like Slide Bar, Rockin' Taco, and everything. But now that you guys are here, it's like anytime I'm ever in downtown Fullerton, this is
Rockin'
where I'm going to go. See, we came down here to have the privilege to have you guys on the show and to give you guys a chance to speak to our audience and give them, you know, a rundown of the place. Before we wrap, is there anything you guys want to say, any final thoughts?
No, just to let everybody know that we are obviously getting our feet under us, but we are going to be doing a nice little New Year's Eve dinner here. It's going to be a $50 dinner, four courses.
Nice.
First course is going to be a mixology cocktail that we're going to put together. I'm not going to give away too many secrets, but it involves liquid nitrogen.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Liquid nitrogen and pork belly. I won't go into any more than that. It's going to be quite unique. And then our chef has put together a nice little three-course food menu as well. So that's going to be $50, and we're actually taking reservations for that. Obviously, we would love to have everyone here and celebrate the new year with us, and, you know, start the new year off at a hopscotch with a bunch of close friends and some value guests. And, you know, if you want to make reservations, just call the restaurant, and we'll take care of that for you.
Cool. You guys are obviously on Facebook.
Yes.
I've seen the Facebook account. You guys on Twitter as well?
Not as much as we should be, but we will be shortly. But you can find us on Instagram as well.
Okay.
Hopscotch Tavern.
Yeah, Hopscotch Tavern on Instagram.
Perfect.
But feel free to hashtag us.
All right.
We don't mind.
Also, real quick, for those of you that don't know, we're having our Porky Mary, which is our pork fat infused bourbon Bloody Mary with beef consomme. It also has our hop spicy Carolina mustard, little pork rub on it. Totally new take on the Bloody Mary.
Best Bloody Mary in town.
We're going for the best. We're going for the best Bloody Mary.
It's not really vegetarian, but yeah,
not vegan. Hashtag it.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely a unique twist on the Bloody Mary. So we serve those on the weekends too. Yeah. So, you know, Bloody Mary or Porky Mary, as we've dubbed it, and finish that up with a nice beer and a shot. Come on down every Saturday, Sunday, 9 a.m.
You guys heard it directly from them. They are on Facebook and Twitter. They're on Instagram as well. They're open from 9 to 2 on the weekends and 11 to 2 o'clock on the weekdays. Come check them out. If you guys wanted more information on their New Year's party, you can find them on Facebook and their website as well. And make reservations, because I'm sure you guys don't have nothing to do on New Year's. So,
you bunch of losers.
And obviously, we've got our big first anniversary celebration coming up. It's called Airwaves. It's going to be in Riverside, California on January 5th. Tickets are still available. We urge you guys to get them as quick as you can before they do sell out.
Yep.
The 5 breweries pouring, $30 ticket, gets you know, a commemorative glassware, 10 taster tickets. It's also a bottle share celebration as well, so you can bring whatever you want. Brew cakes is going to be providing food, and you know where to find us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Untappd, and you guys can get more information there. And for Beer Geek Radio, I just want to say thanks to our guests,
thank
Brandon
you guys
and James.
Thank you for having us.
It's definitely been a privilege.
The privilege is on our side of the table. And my name is Brad. I'm your host.
And this is Steven.
And keep it tuned here to Beer Geek Radio. Cheers.
Later.